So, without further ado, I want to read from Psalm 21 this morning. And I don't know how far we're going to go with this, you know, series or what. Next week, of course, Gary DeRosa will be here. And you really want to spread the news to Michael and everyone in the house there. Gary DeRosa has run Teen Challenge. He's run Higher Ground Ministries in Bristol. He has his own ministry now. I forget the name of it. So he knows, and Gary is a New York City guy who's now here and in our neck of the woods, been here for a while. And this will be a very, Gary is just a great speaker, and he'll have a good word for us. So you won't want to miss it. Invite friends, drag them off the streets, that kind of thing. But anyways, so I don't know how far we'll get with this, but I want to begin in looking at this as we read from Psalm 21. This whole connection between joy and God's presence. Joy and God's presence. And to say that joy and God's presence goes together. Can they make a connection? So I want to speak this morning about the joy of God's presence. And I want to read from Psalm 21 where he says, the psalmist David says, surely you have granted him, that is, the king, God's servant, you have granted him eternal blessing. Psalm 21, 6. Scroll down your eyes, you'll find it. Verse 6. Surely you have granted him eternal blessings. Now, that's pretty cool that it puts that adjective before the blessing, eternal blessings. So that, you know, it's one thing to be blessed, and it's another thing to say, you know, I got eternal blessings. There's a difference. But he says, of God in his own life, God has blessed me with eternal blessings. How would you like to be able to say that? And then look at what he says here, and made him glad with the joy of your presence. So that a sense of well-being, David says, is in my life a gladness, a pursuit of happiness, you might say. We've come to define it or talk about it in terms, those terms, has come into my life because of the connection to your presence. You see it there? And then he says, for the king trusts in the Lord, through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Boy, that's good. You know, it's like, my prayer has been, Lord, you know, I want to be able to go through things and not feel like I'm rattled to the core, you know? And I want to say to you that it's a lot of hit and miss in my life with that, and I'll be frank with you, more miss than hit, okay? And you know, you can trade me in if you like, but that's where I live in these days. But nevertheless, it is a quest of mine. And so this has been in my heart, the joy of God's presence. Lord, bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name. The other day, I was in my study at the Bristol Starbucks. And my reading stuff with me. You say, you know, why do you do that? Well, it's more than just that I like the Starbucks coffee. I do. But I go here, you know, I'm Bill and Sam's, you know, I walk in and everybody stops. Bob, hey, nice to see you. And make connections with people. I like to be where people are. And, you know, we get together, Cliff and I and others, you know, we go out for breakfast and in town. But I like that whole sense of, not just being secluded somewhere, but I want to be in touch, so to speak. So I was in Starbucks, and I was having my coffee, and I left the house early. I had something going on where I had to be to something early. I forget now. Things are fuzzy. But so I happened to be in Bristol. And so I took my Bible with me because I was out of the house so early that I wasn't able to do my Bible reading. And I thought, well, okay, you know, I'll sit and have coffee and read my Bible there. So I'm doing that, sitting there. and reading my doing my devotion, my devotional reading in Starbucks, and I look up and I notice this lady walking toward me. There's an empty seat behind, and she was an elderly lady. I could tell because she had white hair. And when she walked, it wasn't with much of a spring in her step. She was older. But she had a real genteel face, a real, you know, inviting. She was looked like one of those, you know, just those nice old lady type of thing. Just a pleasant face. She did. And there was someone that she was bringing in tow, this guy, and I think they were just friends. He seemed younger than she was. They sat behind me, paid no attention to him, and I could overhear a little bit. The first thing that popped into my mind as I was reading was how courteous they were. Because, you know, they weren't talking loudly, and I appreciated that. Sometimes you get people in there and they're on their head, and it's like you want to say to them, you know, use your inside voice, please. And they were using their inside voice, and I didn't notice the conversation because I was engrossed in my Bible reading, and as I was reading my Bible, I was meta praying, meditating and soaking it in and just talking to the Lord about it. And while I was doing that, I noticed this in the book, she leaned back like this, and she said, "Oh," she said, "that's so wonderful." She said, I noticed you reading your Bible, but I have to tell you that when I sat down here, I felt such an awareness of God's presence in this area. She was a kind of old, you just would love to talk with her. She just was, she said, "I don't mean to interrupt you, but she said, I just wanted to tell you that." And she turned back around and continued her conversation. I said, thank you. And so there was that, you know, that sense of it. I wasn't, you know, was like, "Well, thank you very much that, you know, you were," because I feel nothing, you know, right now. But then again, you know, I thought about it, in the middle of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, as I was reading my Bible, I thought to myself, "Oh, yeah, wow, you know what, Lord, thank you for your presence right now." And it took someone else to notice it, to help me to notice it. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, "Oh God, you know, thank you." And so I want to talk about this thing of the joy of God's presence. And I'm going after something and want to end with, you know, my MO of a couple of things that go along with it that might set us on the right track here. We talk about connecting joy and God's presence together. And I want to start out this way, by drawing our attention again to the Garden of Eden, and creation, and to say that, you know, God made us with things that we can't live without. Now, that's obvious, but let's just pause for a moment, okay? There are things that we have to do to sustain our external, if you will, lives, our external existence. You know, when we leave here, I have to eat. Got to. I will die if I don't eat. You know, I'm so hungry. I can eat a cow. And so we know that there are things that sustain our external lives, and we have to eat, we have to drink, and so on. And that's how God made us. He made us that way. He made us dependent. And as much as there are things that sustain in your external life, there are also things that He made us that we can't live without that sustain our internal lives. You know, who I am emotionally, mentally, sexually, psychologically. And there are, you know, needs that I have that unless they're met, I don't really live. I'm not alive. And there are so many things that, you know, we can mention even along that those lines, you know, from friends to, you know, mental, you know, peace, a sense of belonging, cycle, all kinds of things. We know that. We know those are self-evident things, but sometimes we have to pause because more than things, more than people, and whatever frame we want to put those people in, friends or family, and more than ideas, you know, so that our minds, we, you know, our, how they, those ideas sustain us. We move on, and other you know, politics. More than, we could say money, right? More than money. And more than here's one, the American dream. The American dream. More than all of those things and everything else in between and put together, we cannot live, you cannot live without God. Now that's how he made us. See, he made me so that he made you so that you cannot live without him. And until we find him, the settledness of having a sense of living evades us. It escapes us. And we go looking for love where? In all the wrong places. And God made us that way. And as much as I have to eat and drink to sustain my external life, and I have to be involved in those things to help my internal life, speak and sustain. Sorry, I got a scratchy voice here. This is Starbucks coffee. I can't live without God. Gotcha. And we have to see that. So, and this is what I want to this is where I want to go with that now, okay? When we look at the garden where Adam and Eve were, right? We were made in particular for God's presence. We were made for his presence. So that in this, in my internal makeup of who and what I am, in yours, and is that as we find ourselves connected in community, I love Psalm 133, whatever it was that drew our attention to that, and that sense of together and how it is there he commands his blessing. Blessing of his presence, I was made, I'm specially equipped to know, to live within, and so much more, God's presence. And boy, we got to settle that. And I want to say some things about that, so that I have a capacity, you have in your life. You have a capacity to know God. You have a capacity for that presence in your life. And so do I. It's not foreign to us. It's not something that, you know, has to, you know, some kind of remake has to happen before that can happen. No, it's there already. It has to come alive, in a sense. But nonetheless, it's there. Jesus said, in his prayer, in John 17 and verse 3, he said, as he began his great prayer for us, he says, this is eternal life. Again, as we connect it to eternal blessings in the presence of God, we can see Jesus saying somewhat of the same thing. He says, this is eternal life. Watch now. He says, John 17, 3, he said, this is eternal life. This is really living. This is substantive living right now. And he says, that you know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his salvation, Jesus Christ, whom he said, you have sent. So this is eternal life. He says in Acts chapter 17, Paul speaking there and preaching, and he says, in God, Acts 17, 28, I think it is. Yeah, he says, in God, we live, move, and have our being. We are his offspring. And Paul's quoting one of the Greek poets who said that, who drew attention to that. So it's there is a common knowledge, even amongst those who are not believers. There used to be more of it before the 19th century in the Western world than there is now. But nonetheless, there is this self-evident awareness that in God we live, move, and have our being. That you take that away, and it's like pulling the plug on someone who's being sustained. Their life is being sustained artificially. In him we live and move and have our being. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, Jesus, speaking of his salvation, what he was doing for us, he makes this statement. He says, because I live, you shall live also. So that we see here, and this connects all the way through from the Garden of Eden, that when God made us, he made us so that we cannot live apart from him. And Jesus said, because I live, you live. You will live all. And he's speaking of his resurrection. He's speaking of that life that comes into our lives in life that really makes us alive. Now, St. Augustine, or Augustine, you could even say, some of you have heard the name, the mid-300s, long time ago, 300s A.D. to 400-something, early 400s, he lived, and he was a great knower of God and influenced the church along the lines of any of the Bible writers, except that the same inspiration wasn't there, but a man who has influenced your life and mine, though you don't know it, in his own walk with God and his writings and how it's come down to us, even to this day. A great man of God that served God, served his people. And he said this, and you may have heard it from the book that he wrote called His Confessions. He said this, a very famous statement. He says, speaking to God, and making a statement about God in our lives, he said, God, you made us for yourself. And this is what I was just saying, a couple statements that I made already, but he says, God, you made us for yourself. And here's the kicker. And our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. So once again, you know, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. You know, without me, you aren't really living. And there is this unrest. There is this looking for love in all the wrong places. There's looking for this satisfaction. There's looking for this you know, where does my life really work? What really, you know, fulfills me, satisfies my life? It can't be found. But it's only found in him. In him. And so God has presence. Have you ever said that about someone? You know, wow. You know, like, you know, boy, she has such, you know, effervescent, bubbly personality. You know, when she walks into the room, the whole room lights up. You know, and then you have, who is it? One of the Peanuts character who has the cloud around him all the time. Pigpen. And you have, you know, and Pigpen has presence. It's just that, or no, better yet, Eeyore. Eeyore has a presence, right? And it's like, I don't know. You know? And that brings everybody down. But God has presence in a sense that, you know, and I was just remembering this yesterday. We were talking to someone. I was sitting in Kentucky Fried Chicken years ago. I wouldn't go there now. The Hen House, the best chicken around. So he did. But I was sitting there a few years ago, and in walked, I didn't know who it was, but in walked Michael Irving. Some of you know Michael Irving. Anybody know Michael Irving? He's right, wide receiver, Dallas Cowboys, and news. He used to work for ESPN. I don't know if he still does. He has, I think, two or three Super Bowl rings. But he walked in. I didn't know who he was, but immediately when he walked in, you know, he's a big guy, had on a long coat, and he had the Super Bowl rings, they're gigantic. Hit on these rings, I'm like, ooh. The guy behind me noticed who it was. He went nuts. This guy went, all he did was walk through the door. This guy was going nuts. Michael Irvin, I go, and he goes, oh, I got it. And he, you got a pen, I got it. And he grabs a napkin and a pen and he goes up to him to get his autograph, you know. The guy had presence. Well, God has presence. And it's, what do we mean by that? It's the way God presents presence, the way God presents himself. It's the way in which he presents present who he is. So when God presents himself, there is this wholeness. There is this goodness. You talk about lighting up a room. God lights up a room. There is this sense of security. God, you know, you ever been around, you know, those, you know, strong people? You know, you just, oh, you know, it's okay that they got this. You ever been around people who know where they're going, and, you know, they're driving, and they know, and I sit back, I'm relaxed, you know? If they're fidgeting, and say, you know, it's like, pull over, let me drive quick. But God, there is a sense of security. There is a satisfaction that he emanates, you know, presence. And so as we think about that, in my closing minutes, I want to just give to you a couple of things that go along with being able to really cut through to, like me sitting there in Starbucks, I wasn't recognizing it, but oh, it's there, yeah. And a joy that is attached to it comes. Now, it's bigger than that. That's just a small way of explaining it. But let me start out by saying this. A couple of things. Now, how do I get there? Well, one of the things you got to be careful with God's presence is when it's not there. And really not there. What do I mean by that? Well, you all have indicator lights in your car, right? An indicator light comes on, and, you know, check engine light. You know, this car will self-destruct, you know, in 3 days if you don't bring it to the garage to get it serviced, right? I mean, that's almost the way it comes across sometimes. But you have indicator lights. And those indicator lights come on to tell you, to tell me, hey, oil change, hey, service engine, you know, your traction control isn't working, whatever. And there's all kinds of, right? Are we aware? If you're not aware of this, please take a look at your car. And what I want to say, first of all, is this, that there are times, not all the time, but there are times when you don't have this awareness of his presence. It's like an indicator light saying to you something's not working right in your life. In Isaiah chapter 51 and 45, it says that. He says, the prophet there says, if we harbor sin in our lives, says God doesn't hear us. Think of it this way. Remember Adam and Eve again, going back to the garden? There was presence there. And it's after they really flubbed up, right? What does it say that they did? They went and did what? Hid themselves from the Lord's presence. They hid themselves. See, why? Well, an indicator light kept on coming on. Guilty, 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 guilty. And seeing that flash before them, that sense of guilt and shame and fear because of the breach that was made, they went and hid from his presence. And you have to see, and I have to see, that sometimes our fear, your fear to get too close to God, is an indicator light of a guilty conscience. Yeah. guilty conscience. Moving right along, the next one is, you know, how do I get through this to connect this joy with God's presence? Psalm 23. We say it in such a romanticized way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, it's just, you know, wonderful. I wasn't meant to be like that, especially when you read which verse? Verse 4. Yea, though I walk. Now, the valley of the shadow of death sounds like a pretty ominous place. The valley of the shadow of death. And here's the thing. About that, he says, I will fear no evil. Because why? Because why? Because there's a presence with me. Thou art with me. There's a presence with me. And so this whole thing of trials and tests, the valley. See, that's the second one, the valley. Valleys are inescapable. But it doesn't mean that the plug has to be pulled on joy or his presence. Now, it's how we understand joy. But it doesn't have to be pulled on. You mean to say that in the valley of the shadow of death, that there's going to be loneliness. That's what the valley of the shadow of death could be. It could be loneliness. It could be rejection. It could be that. It could be depression. It could be depression. And a whole host of other things that we just tag as trials and tests, the valley. And he says, I'm not going to fear any evil because why? You are with me, his presence. And then the last one is simply joy. Joy. Now, here's how to think of joy, okay? Joy is better than the pursuit of happiness. Contrary to popular belief in America, it is. It's so much better than joy and happiness. If my happiness is dependent upon the American dream, what happens if the American dream turns out to be the American nightmare? Does it mean the absence of joy? Heavens, no. They're not connected. Joy is present to the American dream. Some of us would. Here's how to look at joy. You ready? Here we go. So let me test you. So we wrap this up. Jesus, first. Others, second. Yourself, last. What's it spell? J-O-Y. And it really does work that way. You keep God first in your life. You look to him to value others above yourself. And then you got to be in the mix. Of course you do. But you're last. There'll be joy. Maybe not happiness, but joy. And there's a difference. It's not my intention to get into it. But joy. Now listen. Here's how you can look at the joy. There is the joy of God's friendship. Listen, God is my friend. He's my friend. Wow. There's the joy of his friendship. Though all others forsake me, God is my friend. And I have access to him. I have access to God. You know? It's like, what's the password? Oh, I'm not telling you. He has told me the password, and his name is J-E-S-U-S. I have access. So there's the joy of friendship. There is the joy of God's favor. Listen, he says, not a sparrow falls to the ground, but God notices. And then, and he said, listen, do you think it's because God cares for sparrows more than he cares for you? Do you think that God takes notice of a sparrow without taking notice of you or me? Heaven forbid that if he notices the sparrows, Jesus said, how much more, and it cannot be calculated, but how much more does he notice you and me? Now, I got to be truthful. I have a problem with that sometimes and say, God, come on. So I'm a good Jew, don't I? Come on, God, what's going on here? You're taking notice of that sparrow over there that fell to the ground, but what about me, God? Chopped liver, God, come on. And the reality is, he says, you're the apple of my eye. No more than a mother could forget her nursing child. And if she did, I could never forget you. You're the apple of my eye, worms and all. The joy of his favor. And then the last one is the joy of God's future. What did he say in Jeremiah 29? You all know it, verse 11. Listen, Israel was in captivity, plundered, beaten up. They were broken up. They were broken. They were in pieces. There was a sense of, what's God doing to us? How are we ever going to get out of this? This is nuts. We have oppressors. We're in prison. People are ranking on us. What's going on? And in the middle of all that, God speaks to the prophet, and he says, as you know, Jeremiah 29:11. Who can quote it? Go ahead.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for the future.
How much more in the middle, whatever brokenness you're in, whatever circumstances you face, but however distant it is, whatever the distance is that you feel, you are from God. I'm talking to myself right now. Please, you're listening to me. His plan is not to harm me, but to prosper me. See, so the last one is the joy of God's future. I know the plans I have for you to give you what? A hope and a future. Wow. A hope and a future. And it's like you don't have to be 18, you know? All of life is ahead of me now. Oh, absolutely. No, you can be whatever age, and that word applies. And just as valid, just as rich, just as fulfilling, it's there. So there's joy because God has a future for your life and for mine. He has a future. Okay. Is that okay? I'm done. Let's stand together and pray.